Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to El Telan John's La Liga Weekly. Who wasn't moved by Iago Aspas's tears after Celta Vigo's dramatic comeback win over Villarreal? The Celta legend had scored twice on his latest return from injury to give his hometown club fresh hope of survival. The tears flowed when it finally struck him just how rubbish Celta are. And because he'd seen his defence make Alfonso Pedraza look like Diego Maradona. And because his legendary status in Vigo means he can't just sneak off and sign for Betis or Valencia like anyone sensible would do. And because he'll never again be paid as much as he was in those 2 years at Liverpool, where he's only remembered as the guy who took a bad corner. Yep, Iago, you sob it out, mate. Sob it out. We knew that Zinedine Zidane would have more power after he came back to Real Madrid, apparently enough power to put his own son in goal. After all, Keylor Navas needs a rest. Next week, Zidane's wife will be in midfield and his granddad will be at left back. He'll still cover more ground than Marcelo. Espanyol have finally discovered how to stop Lionel Messi scoring free kicks. Ingeniously, they came up with the plan of positioning Victor Sanchez just in front of the goal to head the ball past his own keeper, thereby denying Messi the glory. The only problem with that is that they've given the goal to Messi anyway, one of 22 in 15 league games. But scoring so many goals is proof categorical that Messi is, in fact, rubbish. And here's why. Any league that would allow a guy to score 40 goals a season for 10 seasons must be rubbish, so therefore anyone who plays in it must be rubbish, and Messi plays in it, so he must be rubbish. So in fact, if he scored fewer goals, there'd be evidence that he was really good. And ladies and gentlemen, you cannot argue with logic like that. Or at least you shouldn't. But Messi, should he have been sent off? Apparently not. Apparently when you're the GOAT, it's okay to kick people. He even got a hug from Esteban Granero, the bloke he kicked. Now that is legendary status. You see this scar Lionel Messi gave me that. Atletico produced their best performance of the season when it really mattered. It was very important to make sure that the gap to Barca doesn't grow more than 10 points. Valencia and Athletic were the big winners in the European race as Getafe bottled it. Bordalas out! Obviously a crowd of 12,000 is too much for anyone to get their head around. Now, Real Valladolid play at the Estadio José Zorrilla, a stadium named after a poet rather than a megalomaniac, as they should be. But they felt there was no poetic justice or any other kind of justice as they were denied a late winner by the VAR. The official explanation is that it was sort of handball and sort of offside, and if you add them together, you can disallow goals like that, but only on Sundays. Now, this week we learned that Lucas Hernandez is to join Bayern Munich for €80 million, but the biggest transfer news this week was Terry Gibson on a free transfer from 11 Sports to ITV4. We have decided to call this week's episode Tears and Poetry. We'll get to the Sunday night game. Terry, you can tell us how the commentary went and everything. Shall we start with Celta Vigo?
Yes, definitely.
What a game. Lots of people enthusing about it. The fact that two teams in a relegation battle, in big trouble, still played fabulous football. And Gav, let's give Gav first word. Was Celta Vigo Villarreal the best relegation bottom of the league game you've ever seen? Cal Ali, how valuable was Celta Vigo's win? Can it spark an unlikely escape?
Yes, and I think primarily because Aspas and Gomez back together, yep, playing again, that will give them a chance. It was Gav's point about being a fantastic relegation match because it wasn't a battle. It come down to skill and talent. Both defences were dreadful, though, which helps the game and probably explains, is one of the biggest explanations of why they're both down there suffering at the bottom. Dramatic because of the comeback. I thought Celta were dead and buried at half-time. Not only in that game, I thought if Villarreal win, it takes them away. And you look to the nature where Celta would be in the league, how deflated they would be, continuing to lose week after week. So the fact they come back, enormous credit to them. And Aspas makes a difference. I actually might be one of the few, I don't know, that actually like the fact he sat there with bawling his eyes out, because we don't see the player caring in that manner anymore.
Yeah.
So for that, I'll forgive him. But it is, they're going to have to get some goals, Celta, to stay up. But I think they've got the two players that can get them.
Loads of people want to talk about Iago Aspas, of course, James. Yeah. There has to be a large section dedicated to Barry Aspas. He's not called Barry, it's just a thing. What a guy. Thank you, James. Pele, a Barca or Celta more reliant on a single player? Lee, how important is Iago Aspas to Celta's survival? So, yeah, et cetera,
nice
et cetera.
Pele getting in touch.
Yes, yes.
Nice touch.
Yeah, he's always been a big Celta Vigo fan.
Are they reliant on him? Yeah, I think I've made the point in previous podcasts where I don't think they've bought properly. They've bought well enough. They've let better players leave than the ones that they've replaced them with. But with, as I say, it is all down to those two players. I mean, it's they will get goals. Aspas will get goals. Maxi Gomez hasn't scored for a while, but the goal will do his confidence the world of good. They are. It's a tough one. They've got Huesca midweek, so that's going to be interesting to see how the result against Villarreal has helped them in their course to stay up. But I think there are worse teams in the league than Celta. So I think that gives them a chance to stay up. I don't think they should be much higher in the league. I think we saw signs that they were establishing themselves as a genuine La Liga team, played European football, and did well in that competition. But I think they have deteriorated slightly in the last 18 months. I think when you allow too many good players to leave, not replace them well, then this is what happens. So they've given themselves a fighting chance now. It's actually made it really tight at the bottom.
And Lucas then makes a point, sort of a pessimistic take on what you just said, I guess. Will Celta Vigo do a Las Palmas, get relegated after a good spell in La Liga, lose key players and fire manager after manager? That's where it could go, isn't it? That's what could go wrong.
Yes, yeah, they wouldn't be. Well, I think we've seen evidence, though, this season that teams in the last couple of seasons that have had a disaster, completely gone off the rails. Malaga would be the perfect example. Mm. They've got a fighting chance of coming straight back up. So it depends on how the club go. Celta would still be one of the bigger clubs in the second, if not the biggest, in terms of fan base, decent ground. You would hope they wouldn't break up the team completely. Would Maxi Gomez hang around in the second division? No. Aspas might give it one season because of his ties to the club. He wouldn't be the first person we've seen do that in La Liga. That's a possibility. You know, it could very well happen. They spent a long time out of the division until when they came back recently.
If you've only been watching Spanish football a couple of years, you might think they're a bigger team than they really are.
I'm guessing 6 years, something like that. They've been back in the top flight. Would that be a fair assumption?
If that. So good game. That one's 3-2, Celta 3, Villarreal 2. Must remember to give the score as we go. Pedraza's goal. As I say in the intro.
How good or bad? I always go for the attacking, brilliant skill.
Good. So he is Maradona, after all.
Yeah. Yes. And the fact he went around the goalkeeper at the end as well.
Yeah.
Villarreal, again, just when you think they're getting it together. Strong some wins, look like they're going to move up the table, and then 2-0 up away from home against relegation rivals, and then it just fell apart completely.
Yeah.
That's a huge worry for them.
Yeah, badly managed team over the last... And
European
a mean
football
team
coming back up again for them after this midweek round of fixtures against Valencia. I thought it was going to be straightforward, but apparently it's not going to be for Villarreal.
Can we jump to Sunday night then? So Real Madrid beat Huesca by 3-2. Ugh, the mighty Huesca brushed aside by Real Madrid. So where do we start with this one? Huesca took the lead. Huesca, now if you haven't been following, Huesca's tiny, isn't it? You know, it's in terms of support, you're looking at a League Two.
Yes.
Kind of club. Your average, 5,000, 6,000 gates.
First time they've ever top divisions.
First time ever at the Bernabeu. And then
3 minutes.
And they took the lead. Hernandez, who's on loan from Watford, who I think he scored at Valencia, and I think he scored at the Camp Nou as well in the 8-2.
Yeah, in the 8-2.
Yeah. So Yeah. So, right. What do you want to be? Do you want to be positive?
Start with a team selection first.
Go on then. Yeah.
But I'm not going to be critical of team selection from not Huesca's, Real Madrid's, of course. why do they need to rest players? You joked about Keylor Navas in the intro.
Yes. Yeah.
Ramos played both Spain games. He played again today, the full 90 minutes. There was players involved. Ceballos was away with Spain. He played again today. No Modric, no Cruz, no Casemiro. Keylor Navas rested, as we said. But I'm just trying to... I'm puzzled as to why... I know they've got Valencia midweek and Wednesday. But these players are used to playing every 3-4 days anyway. So I'm just wondering what the thinking is behind Zidane's...
Is it just
team selection
in, as opposed to who you leave out? Is that what he's doing? That he wants, because Brahim Diaz had some minutes, didn't he? You know, it's good to see Llorente play.
Yes, yeah. But I wonder what he's thinking. Are we going to see almost? I mean, that game was really good. It'd be exciting. Huesca had something to play for. Are we going to see a series of trial matches between now and the end of the season? For Zidane to make up his mind who he wants to keep, who he wants to let go.
A very long pre-season.
It can be like that. He's got a free pass, hasn't he?
Because it's him.
He won't want to lose to Huesca. Yeah. And the circumstances he's been appointed, but there's nothing left to play for.
Yeah.
Atletico Madrid finishing above them will be for bragging rights,
but there
a
is
sense of pride. But in the long term, it's not hugely important.
Sort of, but there is the... You are Real Madrid. You know what I mean? It's Real Madrid, and there's a reputation. Now, if they'd lost this game, which they could have, you know, Huesca...
Yes.
Huesca were attacking at 2-2.
Yeah.
You know...
Oh, it's not good.
You can't be humiliated as Real Madrid, can you?
But when you look at the team he picked, in comparison to Huesca...
It's
the budget... The salary, the transfer fees, you're still looking at international players. There's probably a couple away in international duty for Huesca, whereas most of that lot are capable of playing international football for Real Madrid. The Spain captain, for instance. It's just going to be interesting to see his train of thought from now till the end of the season.
Shall we get into the Real Madrid questions? Bale tops the list, but we're all Gareth. Joe, Bale looks fed up, body language not good, frustrated with the grief. From the fans, Isco, by contrast, completely changed by being important again. Daniel, does Gareth Bale retain the trust and confidence of his teammates? His off-the-ball runs lack conviction. And he half-heartedly asks for the ball. You know, that's all the time he's been there. We've had the endless debate over whether Gareth Bale's a success or a failure. The all of the European Cups he's won would suggest a success.
I'd say success.
We'll look back. What frustrates me about him is that he doesn't look like he absolutely busts a gut. And I don't know why. Because you're at Real Madrid.
No, I agree. And I don't know why. I think we look at him as a success because of the goals he scored in the big games as well. Last season's Champions League final, one against Atletico Madrid, Copa del Rey goal, and when the individual effort. So it would be hard to say he hasn't been a success. But I agree when I look at him now. I want to see the Gareth Bale we see play for Wales.
Yeah.
That's all I want to see.
Yeah.
The argument there would be that he has a total free roll and every player gives him the ball. Like Barcelona give the ball to Messi, the Welsh players give the ball to Gareth Bale, so he gets more of the ball. There were times tonight where I saw runs he made and he was ignored, but not enough to say that was an excuse for what I would consider another below par performance, really.
Got a proper booing, didn't he?
Yeah.
It was a free kick he took, wasn't it, that boomed.
And then he gave the ball away shortly after that, and then it really opened up. Mm. Brahim Diaz, I thought, looked lively. Asensio's looking like he's coming back to better form. Vinicius is a player that looks exciting for the future for Real Madrid. And Lucas Vasquez is reliable. So, and Isco can play wider, can play in the front three. So there is competition for his place. He was one of the players that gets the opportunity to play against Huesca. Did he grab it? No, I don't think he did. Take away the fact he missed the sitter from 6 yards. I thought his all-round game wasn't dynamic enough. Was really quiet, which is an issue.
Zengreen Yoda says we need an infusion of star talent. Benzema, I think you said this before, Benzema scored the winner. So Benzema, Kroos, Casemiro are past their sell-by dates. I've always dreamt of seeing Pogba play. We'll come back to him from Real Madrid. Real Madrid need Neymar, Mbappe, Sterling, but the clubs won't sell. Now, JR, by contrast, is a Casemiro fan. How do Real Madrid choose between Casemiro and Llorente, two outstanding players? Can they make room for both? So, but let's... If there's anything in that catches your eye, then by all means...
I wouldn't play both Real Madrid, one or the other.
Yeah, no. I don't need
two of them.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't feel the need to discard one of them. I'd keep them both in the squad.
So Pogba, so in the press conference...
There's a lot of flirting going on, isn't there?
He just
feel embarrassed to be in the room.
he dismisses all talk. Oh, I can't talk about other players, you know, blah de blah.
Yeah.
But Pogba comes up and he spends 2 minutes saying how good a player Paul Pogba is. So,
and Pogba then has reciprocated the gushing praise of Zidane. So that looks...
He's an exceptional player. Mm-hmm. Unless he plays for Jose Mourinho, in which case he can't play.
Where does he play?
Centre midfielder, isn't he?
Yeah, I know, but in a two, in a four, in a three, where would... I didn't mean that disrespectfully.
Yeah.
Where is his best position in order for Real Madrid? Where would they play him? Would he be in a three?
He
to
would
the right, to the left of Casemiro or Llorente.
Yeah, he'd replace either
Modric or
Kroos.
Yeah. He'd take one of those places.
Yes.
Because when I look, I see a really talented player. It'd be interesting to see how Manchester United react to any possibility. I think I wouldn't be surprised they wouldn't be open to doing a deal.
Do you think?
Particularly if Pogba wants to go, I think that seals it. But I think with the money they spent, he's shown during his time at Manchester United he's got talent, but has he done it on a consistent basis? I think few could argue that he has. When he's played well, he's fantastic. And I think if he is flirting with the idea of moving clubs again, with the money I paid for him, they'll make a profit. Do you think?
Oh, yeah, I think
80
so.
Million.
Yeah.
If Real Madrid come calling for him and Zidane's pushing Florentino Perez to bring in the players that he wants, then Manchester United could make a profit on him. Mm. So it'd be interesting to see how they receive that for a player. If he does want to go at Real Madrid, I think it's an easy decision then.
Yeah. So what kind of fee? Looking well north of that, I think, aren't you?
Yeah, and it is hard to put a fee on any player now, isn't it?
Yeah.
The player comes in and bursts in. I mean, Brahim Diaz came on tonight, 16 million quid.
Yeah.
And so far he's played 8 minutes at Real Madrid. Not much about Man City.
I saw him play Oxford football earlier this season.
In a cup, man. Yeah. So it is really hard. But if Real Madrid want the player, Zidane wants the player, then the price is going to shoot up anyway. And if Pogba wants to go, of course it will. So I see that as one of the biggest possibilities that Real Madrid could do in the summer.
Cool.
Be good to have him in the league.
Yeah, sorry, Man United fans and all that, but but, you know.
Well, I've seen the response from Manchester United fans wasn't particularly favourable.
Mm.
I think they don't like the fact that if one of their players, they quite rightly see themselves as one of the biggest clubs in Europe, one of the biggest clubs in the world. So if just because it's Real Madrid, they will probably feel aggrieved that Pogba is fluttering his eyelids at Zidane and Real Madrid if he wants to go. And I think Man United supporters are quite right to think if he wants to go, let him go.
Last one on Real Madrid then. Rafa says, with Militao in, Varane leaving rumours, what's the future for Vallejo? And he's always liked him.
He's going to be in these trial games, isn't he? He was on the bench tonight. I like him as a player. Unfortunately, for a player who is 22 years old, he's... just doesn't play enough football because he's not fit. He doesn't ever seem to be able to overcome injuries. So, first and foremost, yes, he can play. Second, he's got to stay healthy. Where does he fit in? If they're bringing in players, then maybe you could make an argument that he might be competition for Nacho's place. Whether Nacho has reached his best at Real Madrid, and maybe you look at someone who's younger. Nacho's 29, Vallejo's 22. Vallejo could play in a full-back position as well, so he might be an option there that Zidane thinks of going with the younger one. But in fairness to Nacho, he's reliable, isn't he? He's been fit. Whereas Vallejo does tend to pick up a lot of muscular injuries, which is a shame because he can play.
In a moment, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have a look at Barcelona and the rest of La Liga.
step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back. It's not football, it's La Liga, whatever that means. Absolutely no idea. Absolutely no idea. Presumably it comes through Google Translate and that's where they get those promos from. Anyway, welcome back. Barcelona against...
I'm out there next week, so when they say that, I'm going to laugh. They're going to go, disrespectful. It's our logo.
Well, we spent millions coming up with that. Right, Barcelona beat Espanyol by 2-0. Funnily enough, previously Messi had slaughtered Espanyol with a couple of brilliant free kicks. So they come up with this plan.
That only Victor Sanchez knew about, apparently.
So they win 2-0. They've been frustrated for quite some time. Messi gets a free kick. I saw someone describe it as a Penenka.
I thought it was a good description, actually.
Yeah, he dinked it down the middle. But then Victor Sanchez pops up.
Yeah, first of all, Victor Sanchez, the part of the plan, I'm guessing, wasn't Victor Sanchez to cynically hack a player down on the edge of the penalty area and give a Messi.
Yeah.
And then it appeared almost single-handedly. He took control of the situation and made come up with the idea of stepping back and getting in the way of the goalkeeper. I think the goalkeeper saves it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's no power on it. Yeah. It wasn't... I saw a lot of people going mad over it. I didn't think it was one of Messi's greatest goals. It was a good idea. But I think, in truth, Diego Lopez would have pushed it away at the very least. But actually, it's not even a deflection, is it? It's a head down into the bottom corner, opposite side of the goal.
Like Maxi Gomez,
and then Diego Lopez is looking at him, what are you doing? But Victor Sanchez, he has this... people might get that he's not one of my favourite players, understatement. He did it this year against Betis. He got nutmegged by Joaquin. And Joaquin was a long way out from goal. He was cutting infield. And Victor Sanchez just chased him and hacked him down just because he got nutmegged. He'd give a free kick to Betis. Teo wrapped it in the top corner. So a player like Victor Sanchez, I don't know why he plays, to be honest. I look at him and he was right back for a couple of years. That I didn't ever think he could cut it there. He goes back into midfield and his job is to be cynical, to be aggressive. Very little quality on the ball. So I always feel now, if Espanyol are going to go forward, they need to someone better than that midfield. And when he cynically chops people down, then you get what you ask for. So, Victor, if you're listening...
He's a big fan of the pod.
He won't be next week.
Very, very usual Barcelona questions. When they're playing pretty well, we don't hear a lot of Barcelona, which is how it goes. You know, that's how interaction works. But Daniel's question sums up a lot. Is Ernesto Valverde falling into the same trap as last year, not trusting the bench?
That's a sort of question.
Burning out his starters. Djigipta, why doesn't he trust Malcolm more? So that's the bit.
I get the Malcolm bit.
So answer,
I think
those
he
points,
has shared it out more this season.
I haven't looked at the stats, actually.
I did see them a few weeks ago, and there was a considerable difference. The problem is, when he does change it, the team does weaken still.
Yeah. But why
he shouldn't do?
Yeah, why not? Why worry about that now?
I agree with that. Because we got 9 league games left.
Yeah, and they're 10 clear.
They're 10 points clear. The time to start rotating will be before the Manchester United game.
Yeah.
And between the Manchester United legs. They've got work to do. They've got a tough game against Villarreal. Why am I saying it's tough? That's just because it's a habit, isn't it? Yeah. They play Villarreal away with this. But we're used to saying over the last, pretty much the last decade, 15 years, is that's a tough game. It probably shouldn't be, but it will be. Villarreal, where they are in the league, God knows why. And then they play Atletico. So they could win the league next 2 games. If they get another 3 points against Villarreal and beat Atletico in the next league game next weekend, then it's pretty much done. Then the time is to start resting and rotating. And I think he's done okay doing it this season. They got to this stage, as you said. Why do it now? 10 points clear. I think the Manchester United game's the key. I was thinking about this, that the hammering that he took last year for not winning the Champions League was only because Real Madrid won it. That's my feeling. And that's gone the last 3 years. I think if Juventus had won one, if Liverpool had won it last year, Barcelona hadn't won the Champions League for 2 or 3 seasons, I don't think it would have been as much of an issue. But the fact that Barcelona are reigning, doing everything in domestic, in the league and the cup, dominating, and then at the end of it, they see Real Madrid running around with the Champions League trophy, it takes all the shine away from what Barcelona have achieved. So I understand Barcelona supporters thinking that they should be getting the attention in the end of the season, but the glamour game is the Champions League final. It's after everything that's finished domestically. So I think it was an interesting theory that they're doing the double last season. Every chance they're going to do the double again this season. So we have to, there has to be an element of just because they weren't at their best. Actually, they started off really well against Espanyol and they got frustrated. The pace dropped. I thought they started off at the right pace. Credit to Espanyol, they defended well. And it needed good fortune, I think, for Messi's first goal. Helped by the fact that the free kick was there in the first place, because they're finding it hard to break Espanyol down. The Malcolm one, every time he comes on, he shows, I would have to say, an improvement on Coutinho, and that's without Dembele being fit.
Yeah.
So that's an issue, but I think it's going to have to be resolved in the summer. You got Dembele, Coutinho, and Malcolm. I don't think you need all 3. And Valverde or the club have got to decide what to do in that situation. Coutinho probably, Dembele's, they're not going to sell Dembele. Coutinho gets more money than Malcolm. So that's going to be interesting to see how that pans out. But I agree, every time he comes on, he looks lively. He gives them a little something different to Coutinho, and in fact, he's more direct. So at times that can be a fault. I think there was one where he could have squared it to Suarez, which is the normal Barcelona way. They're getting a goal in a wide position. Normally it's Jordi Alba, and they slide it across for a player for a tap-in. But he sort of messed it up in the air. It was turned into a cross-come shot that went high, and Diego Lopez saved it. But I think there's potential there from Malcolm.
Scottish Hong Kong Fui says, will Barca win the treble, Terry? Don't sit on the fence.
I think the position that they're in now...
Yeah.
I think they're favourites. They'll be favourites playing against Valencia, although Valencia are much improved now. They're going to win the league. So it's. I'm not really taking much of a gamble to say, why not? I think that the position in the league helps them. If they were 2-3 points clear and every game was a must-win from now until then, I think obviously Manchester United is a tough fixture. They did fantastically well against PSG, against all the odds. But I would make Barcelona favourites in that game. But I certainly wouldn't write about Manchester United off. But they've got every chance of doing the treble. Man City got every chance of doing the quadruple.
Yeah,
they're in. If you're in all the tournaments at this stage,
yeah,
and are well ahead in one and in a final of another, then it's.
But the Champions League is the sticking point, isn't it? Because I agree. The league, I wouldn't give you any odds. Cup, they are obviously strong odds on favourites. Champions League, they're odds against, aren't they? Because there's lots of good teams left in it. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, we're still quite a way out in the Champions League.
Exactly.
And stuff can happen.
Exactly.
So if you're forcing us to say Hong Kong Fui, then you'd say, if it's $1 million, then no, I'm not going to put it on.
No, I agree. They're one of the likely winners. But as you said, we're too far out yet to say who's going to be in the final, who's going to win it.
Andrew wants Barca's best 11 at the moment. I don't think that's that radical, is it? So rattle through. I agree.
Front three, Dembele, Messi, Suarez.
Yeah.
Artur, Busquets, Rakitic.
Yeah.
Centre back and right back are the ones. Roberto or Semedo.
Yeah.
Umtiti or Longley.
Yeah.
Jordi Alba plays left back. Pique plays centre back.
He
Pique, the centre back with more money than Espanyol, apparently.
Right, okay.
You see that? He was asked on a comedy TV program this week about his wealth, and he said he actually said that I have more than Espanyol's budget. I don't think he has. Be surprised if he has, but
I do think
possibly.
There's a future in footballers buying football clubs.
150 million or something, Espanyol's budget, and
Pique
claims his budget is more.
So Steven Gerrard going to Rangers, and then quibbling, you know, and arguing with the club about, oh, can I need a bit of money for a fullback and all of that. They must be thinking, well, hang on, mate, how much money have you got?
Yeah.
I haven't been a Premier League footballer all those years. You've got more money than we've got. So, and Paul Scholes at Oldham. Hey, mate, just buy the club and buy whoever you want and buy the guy out if you don't like him.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Another podcast.
On form and everything else.
Who'd you go? I don't think there's any other choices, is there?
No.
Three,
what would
three?
You do about if Dembele's not fit? Where'd you start?
I'd even be tempted. They did it recently, and went to a 4-4-2. Betis.
Yeah.
And Arturo Vidal came in.
Yeah.
And put Messi up front with Suarez.
Mm.
That served them well last season.
Yeah.
So I think Valverde is a plan B. It depends, away from home against Manchester United. Are we picking this game against Manchester United, for instance? It might be beneficial to have a serial winner, aggressive player, great attitude in Arturo Vidal.
Good in the Champions
well.
League game, wasn't he?
So it's not cut and dried that it's 4-3-3 and that's the system. Messi up front with Suarez, look how well Messi did against Betis. Look how well they play together. So I don't think it's cut and dried that it will always be either Malcolm, Coutinho. I think if Dembele is fit, he plays. If he's not fit, then I think it's a decision to be made between Coutinho, Malcolm and Arturo Vidal.
Messi, should he have had a red card?
I didn't notice it. And then I've seen the replay, I think there's enough of emotion in it to suggest that he was actually trying to chop his foot around the ball and get the ball back.
Granero took it well, didn't he? As I was messing around within the intro, gave him a hug afterwards. Honestly, another player, I think he might have been rolling around on the ground thinking, oh, he's kicked me, ref.
Yeah.
But, anyway.
No, fair play to Granero.
Barca could have done with him sent off and had 3 games suspension
to force him to sit on the bench. Because he keeps choosing to play, doesn't he?
Yes. Mike says, "Well, will the real Atletico Madrid please stand up?" Lads says, "Atleti have realised it's not against the rules to score more than one goal. Is this the start of a change of style, Brian?" Who was that team playing against Alaves? They won 4-0. Saul scored. So all of the ones that we've been, all the ones we've been merely querying. So Saul scored. Diego Costa scored a belter. Morata got his.
What's the best goal
in order? And then Thomas Partey. Brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, there were some great goals there.
And strangely, sort of muted goal by Diego Costa, wasn't it? He just pinged it in the top corner.
His reaction was, I thought, oh, the whistle had gone before he rammed it into the top corner from distance. That's so annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
To see, I mean, I've been harping on about the fact that Griezmann, Costa, Morata can play in the same team. I thought Griezmann was fantastic. He didn't score. He was allowed to roam all over the place. His touch, passing, awareness, ability to beat players really come into play. And you've got the two up front. They're going to cause trouble. Partey's goal was sensational, wasn't it? He has no trouble hitting the ball as hard as he does. Mm. It's the power he gets right into the top corner. Morata took his goal well. Sal took his goal well. It was annoying that they've waited to week 29 to open up.
Yeah,
this has been going on for a few seasons now.
Yep.
Lucas Hernandez, interesting.
Yeah, 80 million euros, a lot of money.
It's a hell of a lot of money, yeah, John. I think it's a good deal, I think, for Atletico, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
They need to spend it wisely, which they haven't always done. The only worry is I keep seeing Godin is another likely lever as well. So that's going to leave him a little bit sparse in the heart of defence. Hopefully, Atletico and Simeone can come up with another Jose Maria Jimenez. Hopefully, there's another player coming through the club. But it's going to be hard to replace. And then this was good because he played centre back, left back. But he never really was
never a first choice.
Really nailed down.
No,
it was one of the back four. Felipe would always play at left back. Godin, Savic, Jimenez were the three central defenders. So for that reason, I'm astonished Bayern have paid it, actually.
Yeah.
It's unlike them, isn't it?
Mm. It's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Valencia, JR says, another great victory for Valencia. Probably the big winners this week, weren't they, of all the teams up the top there. For all the negativity about the extra games, they've shown a positive United effort on all fronts and can reap the rewards. A lesson for other clubs and a credit to La Liga. So they won. It was 1-0 away from home, wasn't it? A penalty, silly penalty, really, wasn't it? A silly challenge by...
Benegi was caught out of position, wasn't he? He was in a position he doesn't really want to be in.
Yeah.
And lacked the awareness to know that the opponent was just behind him, and Gaia was in it.
Yeah, so...
I don't think he knew he was there. But Benegi was forced into playing for some reason in a 4-4-2 wide midfield, and that's not his position. So
they're
tracking back in those circumstances. It was a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, so they go above Sevilla, who they beat, and obviously Alaves getting hammered leaves them. So the points are Getafe. You might as well talk about Getafe at the same time. I think funny if no one's asking about Getafe.
The top four,
So Getafe 46, they're fourth, and Alaves 44, Valencia 43, Sevilla 43. Is that it, or do we go down to Athletic?
I think Athletic can make up the 6 points on Getafe, but the form Valencia are in.
Yeah,
I said last week I fancied Sevilla. They did have players missing in this game. They've got to bounce back quickly. The games have slowed down a touch for Valencia as well, because we had the Copa del Rey amongst it all, didn't we?
Yeah.
So that was every week, every midweek, with the Europa League on top. So the games, now they're in the final. The games have slowed down a touch. A more settled starting 11. Players in better form. Good players as well, by the way, that were underachieving. And now they've got their winning habit. So... it's looking good for Valencia after this week's results. Good, it's a good win at Sevilla as well.
Yeah, definitely. Getafe beaten 2-0 at home by Leganés. Big grudge match, that one. A massive crowd of 12,000 there along for the ride. Nice finish by Santos for the first goal, and Juan Fran scored the second. Good and, of goal, course, he can't celebrate. Oh, just celebrate, mate. Come on, get over it and celebrate.
I'd forgotten he was...
And a weird penalty as well. Did you?
That was not weird. Not a useless penalty. Well, that is the player. Not knowing what he's going to do.
Right.
Okay. Thinking, I'm going to be leery. I'm going to run up here. I'm going to jog up, trot up. This is Guido Carrillo, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm glad we're talking about the same one. He was trotting up, thinking, as I run up, I can be all casual about this and wait till the goal. And then just panicked and bottled it at the end and passed back.
Almost kicks it into the ground, doesn't he?
Bounced about four times before it reached the, the goalkeeper in the middle of the goal.
Hadn't got anywhere.
He couldn't miss not saving it, could he?
Yeah.
He just laid on the floor and clicked at it. So people that listen to the podcast know it drives me mad when players don't take a penalty properly. Don't be clever. either can do that or you can't.
Yeah.
You can do the Panenka like Ramos, or you can do the one where you jog up and you watch the goalkeeper. I mean, you've either got that in your locker. Don't pretend you've got it in your locker. Otherwise it ends up...
don't have any doubts.
Looking like that.
About it. You know, have a plan, I think, if you're going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And his plan was to kick it back.
I'll think of it when I get there.
Like a young child that barely reached a goal.
Betis then. Lucas says, Betis' brand of football is becoming stale. How can Quique Setién reinvigorate his team? So they were up against Paco Jemez and Rayo Vallecano. It was 1-1 draw. Raul de Tomas with the first one. Teo got a late equaliser. Had lots of chances in this game, Rayo Vallecano.
Yeah, for 75 minutes they should have been outside.
Yeah.
Betis come back into it at the end with a bit more urgency when the game was running down, and Teo eventually gets the equaliser. I agree totally. There's no balance between that silly Betis that we all loved the first half of last season.
Yeah.
And then they got tighter and the defence, they weren't conceding goals, and that was, it appeared to be a strength for the team. But this year the balance is completely wrong. They're just not firing it. For a team that have all that possession, to have 33 goals in 29 matches, they got it in about four or five games last season.
Mm.
They conceded a lot of goals, but it's just amazing, that transformation from a team that couldn't stop scoring, that was really open and attacking, it's, you know, turned into... They're not hard watch because it's an atmospheric stadium when they play at home, and at times the football can be cool to watch, but there has to be an end product, and there isn't nowhere near enough of that at the moment.
So
it's turning into a disappointing season now.
Yeah. What, they're ninth?
Went out in Europe.
Yeah.
I think with the progress we thought we were seeing from Betis, with the money they've spent on players, with the way that certain teams underperformed in the first half of the season, Valencia, for example, and Villarreal, Athletic Bilbao, normal teams we would expect to see chasing that fourth spot, I think Betis have missed the chance this season.
Girona 1, Athletic Bilbao 2, Stuani, he's bagging him in, doesn't he, Stuani?
17th.
Yeah.
22 last year, 17 this year.
Yeah, it's remarkable, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
But they lost because Williams and Raul García got the goals. So, JR, momentum builds for Athletic. Surely they can push on next season. If they avoid the horrendous start, bringing some additions, what's a realistic ambition? Another question. Iñaki Williams continues to mature, could become a 20 plus a season man. He's got nine in the league.
That's getting there now, isn't it?
Two in cups.
Yeah.
Takes him to 11. Dave, can Athletic make a late challenge for the Champions League? So they're eighth. There is, I mean,
too many
seed,
to get past, isn't there, for them to get fourth?
Well, potentially.
I mean, 6 points to Getafe. Yeah. They've got hope that Sevilla, Valencia, Alaves, Getafe, quite a lot of teams that have to slip up. I'm not sure, looking at the fixtures midweek, have they got plenty of those teams coming up, which will help their cause, Levante at home midweek. They need to be playing those teams, and I think if I remember right, he might have drawn twice against Valencia. It's a fair guess, isn't it? When you look at Valencia, yeah, drawn 16 and Athletic drawn 13, so it's not impossible, but I would say Europa League is possible. Where can they go in the near future? Why couldn't they top four? It is, we know how the club works and how difficult it is to bring better players in, but they I think Iñaki Williams, Raul García is the one that continues to surprise and amaze, that he's turned into this player again. And the player, I'm not sure where he's playing at the moment, but he gets himself in a penalty area and gets himself goals, three headers in this game as well.
He's just coming into his proper age now, Athletic, isn't he? He's got years ahead of him, yes.
Yeah.
Going by Aroith, his late revival. So, games, what haven't we done?
Levante Eibar.
Yeah, so 2-2. Decent, good goals, actually, weren't they? Grim sight with all the umbrellas up, wasn't it? But, you know, decent game between two, you know, not bad teams. There were Levante 32 points. Actually, still in a relegation battle.
This week, my little cheat sheet, idiot sheet for me, as it's known, I'm putting little square boxes next to teams where they are in the league, and I've got Levante with an R next to it, and that means they're in a relegation.
Right.
Fight.
Yeah.
Not that they're going to go down. I've got Eibar, for instance, mid table. I don't see them going along with Leganes. There's not too many others not involved in Europe chase for European spot.
Yeah.
Whether that's Europa League or Champions League, and then relegation. I think we've got Eibar, Leganes on 36 points, Real Sociedad now on 37. They're going to be safe. I don't see any of those three challenging for European places. So there is still a lot to play for. Just ironically, there's no title race, really.
Mm. So the last game then is... the Valladolid Sociedad one. So Keco scored early, I had the ball, and then Valladolid thought they'd won it, and then Kiko Olivas scores. It's just a messy VAR. It takes forever. You're not quite sure why. what a scene, you know. So, because there's sort of someone offside, and it sort of gets kicked against his hand. And I was thinking, as I was saying at the end, I was thinking, what? So is that the both a little bit? So, I'll rule that out. It's almost like looking for reasons to rule it out. I don't know. I'll have to go back and have another careful look at it, but it just seemed a messy, untidy situation. And
in this day and age, is it possible for the reason to be explained to people watching on television?
Yeah, it's a bare minimum, you would have thought.
Yeah.
Because they're taking so long over
what they've chosen to do.
Yeah. Because in the World Cup, they were communicating what they were looking at. I'm not sure. I mean, we don't get it on the international feed, but I don't know whether the local TV are getting it. It's not being communicated anywhere, if it is, or not to us anyway. So
no, and that would be the first time. That's not the first time that's happened.
Yeah,
this season.
Yeah, and just tell us why. Yeah. If it was offside, tell us why it was offside.
I've got Valladolid down, obviously relegation issues. Well, obviously they're mid-table, so big. A big goal.
You gave us some predictions last week. They started very well, Terry, I must say. you started with Barcelona 2, Espanyol 0. And then it went Alaves 1, Atletico 0. And then you had Sevilla beating Valencia in a high-scoring game. I seem to remember suggesting it wasn't a high-scoring game.
But I did say a draw.
I did say a draw because I thought it would be a draw. But anyway. You know what? We're getting close to the time of the season where we'd start with the team of the year and the how does he get a game team. So we might turn our attention back, do a few polls on Twitter for that one. So we're both
on suggestions?
Twitter. Yeah. So Driscoll FC and Terry Gibson 80 here, but use the La Liga_weekly and start sending us some ideas for who should be in the, and then who should be in the how does he get a game 11. So players who aren't good enough for the club for whom they play.
To Sanchez.
Yes. Yeah. So you might be onto a winner. So and then we'll vote for a team, and then Terry is the expert. Will overrule the vote, and we'll just tell you that you're wrong and carry on. Anyway, let's not go there.
No.
So we'll start doing that with how does he get again? So tell us, players, basically. So it's much easier to get in this team if you're a Real Madrid or Barcelona player. Because they're obviously exceptional teams. It's hard to get in if you're a West Coast player. You have to be pretty... Actually, yeah. You know what? they're not bad. None of the teams are terrible.
No,
this season.
Exactly.
They're all quite likeable and they're all quite open.
Oh, courage they had at Huesca against Real Madrid away at the Bernabeu.
Yeah.
They're getting the ball down, they're knocking it about, they're getting players pouring forward. Yeah, no, we haven't... I've said time and time again throughout the season on the podcast and in the games I've been working, they've come up short just... on so many occasions. I feel for them, but there's that thin line, that difference between a club like Huesca coming up and getting the sufficient quality. So they've been unlucky, but they're still good to watch. And I agree with you. Rayo's performance against Betis was really good for a team that are languishing second from bottom. I think we're all anticipating taking the mickey out of Paco Gemes, but there was no need for that. Their team played well. And then above that, you've got Celta, VRL, a decent team. So, no, we haven't got what we've had in the last couple of seasons, some truly dreadful teams.
So, Tuesday, there is a start of the next round of games. So, Atleti against Girona, UK time 6:30. Are you working on one of these?
Yes,
so
on VRL for Barcelona.
Yeah, okay, so that's ITV4.
Yeah.
And then remember, Premier... get some, sorry if you're elsewhere in the world, I'm sure it's more simple where you are, I hope it is anyway. So Premier have got four games,
they get
a match
four
round
games.
And
ITV
11
get the second choice best pick, so I guess Real Madrid, Valencia, Real Madrid is going to be the first pick.
So the Premier Sports have got four, and then they're all on 11 Sports anyway with the La Liga TV international feed and all of that, which is where you are next
weekend. I'm a late call up.
Right. All right. Okay.
There's been a injury issue.
Right.
I have no idea. Right. Someone's dropped out. So.
Someone's got a better offer.
I'm one of those that runs up and down the touchline at Stansted Airport waiting for a call.
Anyway, so this week, so Atleti Girona, Espanyol versus Getafe, Villarreal versus Barca. Tuesday games. Wednesday games are Athletic against Levante, Eibar, Rayo Vallecano, Huesca, Celta Vigo.
Big game.
Yes, huge, isn't it? And should be good as well, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
And Valencia, Real Madrid. And then Thursday, the Sevilla Alaves, Leganés, Valladolid, Real Sociedad versus Betis. Shall we come back Thursday night, Terry? And
I'm up for it, definitely.
Have another one. So we'll record late Thursday, so you might get it Friday morning. So if you want to get some questions in, they're always welcome. And we'll see you for another podcast in the back end of the week. See you then. Bye-bye.